In the Gospel of Mark, which we shared a part of this morning, Jesus travels from place to place. And he travels mostly by walking. Sometimes he travels by boat. And he's accompanied by his disciples, 12 of them, who had left everything to follow the teacher. And as he traveled, he healed the sick and cast out demons and reached out to the marginalized. Now, that's a big word for those who are poor or put down by others. And he also taught the people that he met. And he taught really important things. He taught about God. And he taught about God's love for people. So he was explaining what was important, why it was important, and predicted what would happen to him. And Jesus has now arrived at his final destination, Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the capital of Israel and the site of the temple. Now this is the temple with the big T, the center of the faith. Now, a common way of learning in the Jewish community in the first century was through healthy debate. Not so much like the debate that goes on in our world today. But healthy debate. The rabbis debated with one another. And when a scribe heard Jesus answering the questions of others well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the greatest, the most important?" And Jesus responded with the Shema, the call to prayer from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." That is, with all of yourself. He answered immediately with a response that everyone present would have known by heart because they had been taught from the time that they were little children. He didn't have to look it up, you know, search his phone, or go to his computer, or pull out his Bible. It said it's in here somewhere. He knew it. And then he added the words from Leviticus chapter 19. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For I am the Lord." Now, there were other rabbis of Jesus' day who linked these two passages together. And Jesus said that there was no other commandment that was greater than these. They were the most important. Now, the scribe responded that Jesus was correct, and he offered his own thoughts on living into these commandments, that they meant more than burnt offerings and sacrifices of temple worship, the rituals of the temple. What was important were the relationships between us and God and between one another, our neighbors, not ritual. And Jesus realized how much the scribe understood and said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And that was sort of a conversation stopper because nobody else was willing to ask questions after that. Now, we share a lot with Judaism. The Shema is the positive of the first commandment, which says, "Thou shalt have no other gods." before me? There are only two sins: failure to love God and failure to love our neighbor. And the scribe agrees with Jesus. And even though there might be conflict on other points, he is open to the truth. Others among them are not. So Jesus continues by asking those gathered around him about the Messiah and David's son. And he quotes Psalm 110. And in our reading this morning, Jesus points out to the scribes that they have a deficient view of the Messiah. Now, they correctly understand that the Messiah is going to be a descendant of David. But the Lord shows them that they didn't realize the Messiah was going to be more than simply a son of David. The psalm says that David calls the Messiah my Lord. In the Jewish mind, a descendant of someone could never be the Lord of that person. So how could David call his son Lord? Now, what Jesus is saying is that, folks, the Messiah would be greater than what they thought. The Messiah would be greater than a human leader who would defeat the Romans, because that's what they hope for. Now, the next words of Jesus are hard to hear, especially for preachers. Jesus criticizes the religious leaders, saying, "Beware of those teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly treat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished." Too much concerned with appearance while taking advantage of the poor. Now, some of these religious leaders, the scribes included, wanted to be looked upon for their position rather than the work that they did. Now, I'm not going to transfer to current events and what we might think about some people in positions of authority. Don't we all know people who seem to be more concerned about being in the spotlight rather than doing what needs to be done? Now, this criticism that Jesus had offered was occurring in the very shadow of that big T temple. So in a way, Jesus was confronting the practices of the day. And he was doing so at the place that was acclaimed as the center of the faith. And right after he criticizes the temple and its practices, its hierarchy, he watches. He watches a poor widow putting all she had into the temple treasury. And he taught his disciples that the sacrifice she made was greater than all the rich gave out of their abundance. For she was the one that gave with abundance. Now, Jesus is trying to show how the kingdom of God, which is a completely Jewish idea and movement in Mark's gospel, how it challenges the human power structures for the healing of all the people, not just the rich, not just the rabbis, but all the people. So how does he go about doing this? Well, in Mark, we're shown how Jesus' consistent focus is on the poor and the marginalized, even if it goes against the grain of the dominant social systems. Systems ordered to hierarchies of power and self-aggrandizement, puffing up of oneself. Unlike the scribes, who like to be greeted with respect and to have places of honor at banquets, Jesus dedicates his life to the healing of the broken and the marginalized. And he did it by walking and teaching as he went from place to place. He doesn't align himself with those who will increase his social status, but rather to those in need of healing, support, and belonging. Did you ever feel that way yourself? That what you really needed was not more things, not more money, not more importance. You just needed somebody to love you, somebody to come alongside of you, somebody to be with you when you were in a hard spot. That's what Jesus did. He didn't take advantage of the poor or the weak for his gain, like those who devoured widows' houses. That's a picture, isn't it? Something devouring a house. But rather, he strengthens the weak through acts of forgiveness by including them and by healing them. And in fact, I guess if you stop and think about it, Jesus goes to the cross precisely because he refuses to back down from this ministry of healing. He hangs on a cross as a consequence of his healing mission, trusting, of course, that God and God's power will bring life from death. He doesn't deviate. He continues with his mission. For his mission of healing has come directly from the God of Israel. And it seems to me, if this were a time of show and tell, that Jesus' mission would show and tell of the highest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what makes Jesus the God's appointed Messiah. When Jesus seeks out the poor and the marginalized for restoration and inclusion and reconciliation, that's precisely what God's love in the world does. And it's interesting to note that not all of the scribes were opposed to Jesus. And I think maybe in some ways it means that The work of Jesus was intended for the whole world, for all points of view, to those who would be open to the truth. For he said of the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So how about us? Are we ready to love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength and all our soul? And harder yet, are we willing to love our neighbor? Some of them who admittedly are awfully hard to love. Let us pray. Lord of love, you have taught us that love is your greatest commandment, the most important. Teach us to love as unconditionally as you love us. Amen.